Hola, Fanatics. It's time for another edition of The Seniors. I'm joined by Rob Gray. I'm Jared Stansberry. How you doing, Rob?
Ah, muy bien. ¿Cómo estás?
Ah, bien. Gracias.
Excelente.
The funny thing is my Spanish class is the next one I have.
Excellent.
So,
you started this with an hola, so I thought I'd, and I said, ¿cómo estás? I went familiar with you.
Yeah, exactly.
As a fellow senior, I think we can do that.
How you doing this week?
I'm doing okay. How about yourself? So many classes going on.
Yeah, I know. It's time to get back on the grind, but you know it is what it is, I suppose. We're here in Chris Williams' kitchen, recording today's edition of The Seniors. And Rob, guess what? It's game week, my friend.
It is game week. It's time. It's go time.
It's time to end all of the speculation and really see something happen out on a football field. Are you excited?
Of course. what's sad about it is it is a game in you and I that feels like it's the whole season or the whole Rhodes era encapsulated in this one game. Mm-hmm. And to some degree, it certainly is, but it takes a little bit of a shine out the excitement because it's so, monumental.
Yeah.
You know, you're playing an FCS team, granted one of the traditional FCS powers, and it seems like, you know, the fate of the world when it viewed through cardinal and gold-tinted glasses is hanging in the balance. And, that's exciting, but it's also, you know, you feel like you're watching people walk a tightrope.
Right.
So we'll see. It'll be a great atmosphere. Be able to watch a little college football, obviously Thursday, but then game day as well before rolling in there. I thought about riding my bike all the way. I'm not sure I'm quite there yet to make the trek from Ankeny.
You don't think so?
Whatever. We'll see. I'll have to see if the old Cannondale, made in the USA Cannondale, it's that old and that classic, can make it. I might give it a shot.
I think you could do it.
Yeah.
My
mind would definitely be right if I dropped about 25 miles on the trails and then on that single bike lane from Slater into West Ames there, the gateway.
We'll get to the game and you'll be sitting there with your head down, so tired from your ride up that you'll just tell us you're going to take a nap, wake you up when the game's over.
Yeah, I think as long, the last 5 minutes of the game, that's what matters, right?
Right, so exactly.
I'll be good. I'll be refreshed by then.
Okay, so Iowa State and you and I kicking off at 7 o'clock Saturday night. Should be a pretty interesting game. We had Paul Rhodes' press conference yesterday. Really no big news on the depth chart front, no big injury news, which is always good news, I suppose. No news is good news in this situation. Are you feeling confident about him?
I think that Iowa State players and definitely feel confident.
Yeah, but how about you? How do you feel, Rob?
I've got to see it. You know, you hear that from Chris a lot.
Yeah.
But you got to see it, you know, the whole, you know, rebuilt, revamped, recreated, renewed culture thing. You know, let's face it, and we've talked about it ad nauseum over and over, this adversity and how the team just crumpled in the face of it the last couple seasons. And injuries had a lot to do. You know, again, rehash. You've got to see if they can change that, if the culture changes it, and if it's adversity 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, and then an uppercut, do you wobble and then go down for the count, or do you wobble and get stronger and overcome it and come back with your own like Rocky IV style? You know, take 3 million shots from the Ivan Dragos of the world.
Yeah.
and end up winning it and even getting to make a speech at the end, a stirring speech at the end. So we'll see what they can do there. But I think the pieces are there, but there's not a ton of depth. And we know UNIS talent and even more FBS level transfers, dotting their two deeps on both sides of the ball. So I can't see it being anything but a somewhat close game. I know some people think it'll be fairly comfortable, and I think the key is just win it.
Right.
If it's 1 point,
exactly.
If it's like 20-19, and I think it was 2011, it was a pretty good season. It was a bowl season. Just get through it. because a lot of weird things happen in the first game of the season.
The only thing that really bugs me is I feel like it's just one bad thing away from the whole house just crashing down. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They could. I don't know if it would be a Kamari Cotton-Moya ejection type thing or an injury or anything like that. But like you said, the dealing with adversity thing, I feel like there's that potential for the moment that one bad thing happens, everything just collapses and the whole wheels fall off.
Yeah. Last year's opener, of course, it was just the perfect storm of adversity. I mean, Quentin Bundridge is going to break through. I mean, he had already broken through the last season, tying the single season touchdown mark and having some huge games, and boom, four snaps in, and then Tom Farniak goes down. And I mean, you can go back to season openers have been just harbingers of doom for Iowa State the past two seasons. Sam got hurt and really never recovered from it in the UNI loss 28-20 in 2013. I mean, just that's why this game, and another reason why this game is so huge at a variety of levels.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can finally get the trend of breaks to go from very bad to at least somewhat positive, you've won half the battle there. And then guys have to perform. Can you run the ball? I mean, can you stop the run, which you couldn't last year and barely could in 2013? You know, so many questions that can only be answered, and that ties into the adversity thing. You can believe as much as you want that, hey, this time we're ready for it. To a man, we're ready for it, not just 9 of the 11 on the field at a given time or 10. You know, you never know until it hits. So
yeah, exactly. And I think that they're more well-equipped to handle that kind of situation than they were last season. Mm. I mean, even when you talk to guys last season, it just – they were saying things, but it just didn't really seem like they really believed it.
Yeah.
But I feel like now when they come in and they say stuff and they say, you know, we're feeling confident, we feel like this defense has ability, it seems like they really, really believe it and they're not just out there talking.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there was a lot of talk. I love that Mangino quote in spring ball where it said, well, we had a lot of enthusiastic guys last year. I think a couple of them maybe fooled me a little bit. And then he talked about the adversity, which, of course, if there is a word, you know, to go with the culture renewal project came on the heels of adversity, 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 and the lack of a proper response to it. You know, that's the buzzword around Iowa State football this year: adversity, and then the unanswered question of how to respond in a good way to it.
I don't think I've ever told you this, but you have the Mark Mangino impersonation down pat.
Yeah, I think I have the intonation and the delivery, but he's very unique voice, and of course, much more celebrated individual than I am as a national.
Yeah,
you know, I haven't been a national anything as far as I know. I hope, because it probably wouldn't be anything good.
One of the biggest questions going into the game is who's going to play quarterback for UNI. You wrote about this yesterday. They've got four guys listed, I guess technically, at the top spot on the quarterback position, including Cole Morgan, who played in the 2013 game.
Yep.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
And
as Rhodes said, he whipped us.
Yeah.
I remember Wally Burnham saying, this guy could play in the Big 12. Now, Cole Morgan's had concussions since then. He's been not, you know, other injuries. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the reasons they've been testing out all these other guys. You get a transfer from Illinois in Bailey, and you get a high-producing kid in Grinnell's high-octane high school offense in Eli Dunn. And blanking on the other kid's name. But JUCO transfer as well. So you got all these guys that apparently have some ability. Now, you and I, no one is ever going to out gamesmanship Mark Farley. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that from covering you and I in the past. So he's saying, yeah, these four guys, I'm really not going to narrow it down, but I know from reading some accounts of his press luncheon, as they call it there. I remember attending those spicy buffalo chicken sandwich I'd always have at those affairs. He kind of chuckled and said, yeah, we haven't narrowed it down yet. I'm certain they've narrowed it down to two. You can't rep four guys, as some of our friends on Twitter have you know, been intelligent in mentioning. You know, because you're going to get through how much of the offense if you're equal reps for all four guys. But I can't imagine it's not going to be Cole Morgan, but I'm hearing other things as well as possibilities. So I don't know enough about how much he's been battered and bruised, and obviously you don't mess around a whole lot with multiple concussions too. So we'll see who they throw out there. I mean, the key, I think, is as Chris and others have alluded to, is this team will go as far as the offense will take them.
Right.
So if you can take it to that defense, and I think their secondary is the most experienced group. They lost some studs on the D-line. But if you can kind of do what you want to do, kind of like you did maybe against a lower-tier FCS team, Western Illinois, whatever that was, 2012, where you pretty much handled them. If you can do something like that on the offensive front for Iowa State, that's outstanding. We have to share that in a moment.
Oh,
but if you can do that and then hold your own defensively, which that'll be the theme of the year on defense, I think, theme for the year, you know, I like their chances. I just can't see it being a runaway. I can't see it being 45-17. I find it hard to believe that UNI isn't going to put some points on the board. I just think Iowa State will put a few more up.
Yeah, most definitely. And we've got to give – I just got a direct message on Twitter from Mr. ISU Illustrated. He just sent us our picture, and this is outstanding.
It is.
I can't wait to tweet this out.
It's fantastic. He even found a way to make me look, you know, not quite as old and run down as I am, you know. He made me look a little bit short, though. It's like you must be 8 feet tall, because I'm 6'1". And I look like I'm about up to your belly button.
No, that's pretty good.
I know. I'm just kidding. He's very talented.
Oh yeah,
young man.
Yeah, most definitely. So big thanks to him
for
giving us that now. But, you know, getting back to the game, I guess. I just feel like as much as the game is the storyline, I feel like the opening of the South End Zone is the storyline.
Yeah.
As much as anything, I think that it's going to be absolutely electric in that place, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
No, I think so too, and it's you know, the pinnacle of many people's dreams to
right.
see that happen, that has been expressed for many, many, many years. People my age, people Chris's age, and it's, you know, as I said, it really looks like a big time college football stadium now, third highest capacity in the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got to go out and win in the place, which I think one win at home last year. Toledo,
yeah,
not a whole lot in 2013 too. So I mean, fans are starved for a win in that place, and I think that will just add to that atmosphere, that charged atmosphere. That if Iowa State gets it rolling early, like it did against North Dakota State last season in the opener, but actually keeps it rolling, creates a few turnovers, which I know they've made an extra point of emphasis on doing. It'll be a very memorable day, because all of a sudden it'll be, hey, the culture, yeah, it's back. They face this adversity. They overcame it. Throw out a name. Alan Lazard made 8 catches for 114 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Richardson completed 70%. I mean, there's lots of things you could see happen, you know, 3 sacks or something. I find it amazing. How about that Bloomstat? As an aside, UNI was so good on defense. And now they played a few extra games given the nature of the playoffs at the FCS level.
Right.
51 sacks last season.
Wow.
And Iowa State 45 in the last 3 seasons combined.
Wow.
And that's a sobering, to put it mildly, stat. I mean, we can all talk about how Iowa State has a hard time pressuring the quarterback.
Right.
With the guys that they've had the last few years. And really, go back, you haven't had a big-time pressure line since the days of McCarney.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you had a few guys that can get in there. But, you know, so that'll be interesting too. Can they block UNI? Because they sacked the quarterback like crazy in that 2013 game too. So, you know, they've got some athletes there, and they're taught well. So the O-line, ton of pressure on them too. But, you know, back to what you said, should be an exciting and memorable day with not only the window dressing, which is very nice, the says, but also with all those questions hanging in the air.
The 2013 game was the first game I went to as a student here. So that one is one that I'll always remember.
Did you go into that thinking, okay, yeah, we know UNI is a good FCS team, but Iowa State, you know, we've been to 3 bowls in 4 years. You know, we've got some guys, you know, we've got some got some talent here at running back. We got this linebacker, Jeremiah George, you know, he's going to break through. Is that how you went into it? And contrast that with how you walked out of the stadium.
Well, going into the game, I knew – well, coming from Western Iowa, I knew about guys like Aaron Wimberly and Rodney Coe. I'd heard about them previously, and I thought Aaron Wimberly was going to be an absolute stud just based on what he had done at Iowa Western, which I think I was not in the minority in thinking that. But coming into the game, I was like, you know, maybe they could get to another bowl game. Yeah, you know, who knows? And my only really experiences with Iowa State football was – I came to a game when they played Nebraska. Both times I came and watched them play Nebraska, they lost. Nebraska lost. So Iowa State, 1 year, Todd Blythe just went off. I'd called into the Nebraska call-in show before the game. I was like 7 or 8 years old. And I called into the Nebraska call-in show.
You're one of those kids.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I said, hey, is Todd Blythe going to have a big game today? And they're like, well, yeah, you know, Nebraska secondary, pretty good. You know, he just went off. I just remember that. My mom was like, you're never calling into the call-in show ever again. So I never got to call into the call-in show ever again. But Todd Blythe had a big game. But I came here, and I was like, yeah, Iowa State football, you know, they haven't been very good in the past. But I think I can get behind this. And then they lost the first game, and you're leaving. And it's like, man, that sucks. That's depressing. And yeah. That was just my first game.
I can imagine. And then you were disappointed with those Nebraska games too as a as a Big Red supporter.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to talk about that though. All right, let's take some fan questions. Does that sound good
to you? Yeah, let's do it.
All right. We had pretty good response on our taking fan questions, I thought, yesterday and today.
Fanatics are a tremendous bunch of human beings.
Yeah, definitely. This one came today. It was from Michael, and it says, which would be a better game to go to, Texas or Oklahoma State, trying to decide? What do you think?
I'd say Texas for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Given the way the last two have – now, you don't want to leave the stadium. Talk about leaving the stadium on a down note, but the way it happened the last time at Jack Trice with Jeremiah George definitely taking that ball away and Bress just blowing the call. I mean, let's call it what it was. I'm not trying to sound like a homer, but I mean, you watched that over and over and over in the aftermath of what people said nationally and everything else. Very obvious, but I don't think Texas is all the way back yet, particularly on offense.
Right.
I mean, they were a good defense last year, and Iowa State had one of their best offensive games. So, strangely, it seems to be becoming a very entertaining and even matchup, even though Texas still has their slew of 4- and 5-star guys, while Iowa State's punching back with 2 and 3. So I'd pick that one. I think Oklahoma State just has they have the capacity. They could go off on offense. They have guys every year, whether they had to get rid of Tyreek Hill for obvious reasons or not. He was one of the most electric players in the Big 12. They got guys up and down that roster that could rush for 180 yards, could, you know, receive for 160 yards. You know, they've always got some people that can sling it, multiple guys. So in terms of if you want to leave the game feeling good and I think have a good game, I think there's a better chance that happens against the Longhorns. How about you?
Plus you throw in the fact that that's Halloween.
Yep.
It's homecoming. I mean, the atmosphere is going to be good. All around the stadium, it'll just be a fun
day.
You
could wear a costume.
Yeah, exactly.
You could dress as Jared Brackens at men's basketball games. That's just one costume suggestion.
What are you dressing up for, or dressing up as for the Halloween game?
I don't believe I'd be allowed. That would be like cheering in the press box, wouldn't it? If I showed up, I could dress like the infamous press box jersey. Remember that attended Iowa State game. Might have been the last. Last time or two times ago that they played it at Jack Trice Stadium, a dude was covering for some place, and he came up to the press box wearing an Iowa jersey.
Wow, that's really something.
Yeah, that we were surreptitiously taking like a little photo of him, putting it on Twitter, or texting back and forth. It was just one of those. Seriously,
that takes some.
That's what you're gonna do.
That takes some courage to go up there like that.
It also takes an alarming lack of professionalism.
Right. I was going to say, I'd feel like a fool the whole time I did it, but that takes some courage.
Yeah, it definitely does. Especially when Tom Crichel was still in charge of the press box.
This one comes from Tyler Gustafson. He says, any chance we get a preseason hype video? Just watch Tulane's and now I'm jacked for their season. So he's jacked up for the Green Wave. But everybody wants to get jacked about the Cyclones. I haven't heard anything about a preseason video.
Won't they do one of their? I mean, is this? Do we have to produce it? Is that?
I don't know. We need to talk to Matt Van Winkle if we're supposed to be producing some kind of video.
Because we'll have to get some clips. I mean, we've only had the one open practice.
Yeah.
As far as that goes, I'm sure Cyclones.tv will have their typical. You know, what do they call them? Hit tapes. I guess it won't really be a hit tape. It can maybe just a mixtape.
They're going to drop a fire mixtape.
To fuel the enthusiasm there.
Right.
But, that's where I'd be looking for it.
And this one comes from our good buddy Ted Flint.
Oh, yeah.
He says, Flip Cup or Flippy Cup? And does Rob know what the game involves?
Flip Cup or Flippy Cup?
Yeah.
No, you'll have to explain that to me.
You don't know what it is?
No.
Okay, it's you get just normal red Solo cups, and then you have to flip them. And you put alcohol in each cup, and you like go down the line. One person drinks, and then they flip it. Once they flip it, the next person goes, and then there's just two teams on each side.
And this sounds like a recipe for spreading the flu around or something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you only have your
cup.
Young
people don't care about those sorts of things, but I've got to be careful.
Yeah.
Good Lord,
I can't argue with you.
We used to have parties where they'd literally take those, you know, Rubbermaid giant trash cans, wouldn't line it, wouldn't do anything. And they'd make what they'd call jungle juice, the huge vats of Everclear punch. Seemed perfectly normal. So, you know, I can relate. I can relate. So, I don't know. I'd go with flip.
Flip cup?
Yeah.
I don't know what Ted's response is. I say flippy cup. That's what I've always heard, too. But I can respect flip cup. That just sounds classy. That gives it a little bit more class.
I hope I'm wrong, because it would make sense as the more literal senior, in a sense, of the seniors. I'd like to be wrong on that.
Yeah, definitely. That was all the questions we got today. We got a lot yesterday, but kind of our false alarm. We're recording today. No, we're not. Now we're recording tomorrow.
Well, that's CW's fault, though.
Yeah. Dang it, Chris.
The man's only juggling a dozen things on a daily basis, probably. Mm-hmm. Maybe more.
I go to class 3 times a day and then work, and he still probably is juggling more things than I do.
Yeah, and I don't have to juggle a whole lot other than being a dad, occasionally mow the lawn, and then write some stuff.
Just show up when everybody tells you to show up.
Yeah. That's what life is all about. You got to. Well, it's not just about showing up,
right? We're going to take a look kind of around the rest of the country, too. I figured we could do something like this just kind of at the end of every or at the midway point, I guess. And we were going to talk about preseason. Preseason Heisman picks. You've got a bunch of people listed here. I didn't list anybody out, but I've got them up in my noggin. So do you want to – who do you have as your number one? I see you've got all these different guys listed, but who is your number one option as for the Heisman preseason?
Well, given we're in Big 12 country and there's a Big 12, I suppose there's a Big 12 bias here, but it's hard not to go with Trayvon Boykin. He can do so many things,
right. And
he's been doing them for so long at TCU. He'd be right there for me. And I know there are a lot of guys on this list, but let's face it, it's so early that you never know. It's hard not to think of an SEC type guy. Dak Prescott doesn't get a whole lot of pub, but he was tremendous from Mississippi State last year.
Hopefully,
Michigan State, if they're as good as people think they're going to be again,
right?
You know, do you go quarterback Connor Cook, or I'm sure they have 3 or 4 running backs, the one that will emerge and be a guy. Alabama running back Derrick Henry. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it right, but LSU's produced some pretty darn good runners in recent years, and you've got Leonard Fournette.
Fournette, I think. I think he was like the number one recruit in the nation. He was just a true freshman last year.
Yeah, and I mean, LSU's kind of due to be more of a team, not just that's really good, but knocking on the door, if not making the playoff.
Exactly.
So we'll see. Scooby Wright, who seems like he's been playing at Arizona for 14 years, but apparently he's only a junior. Granted, he's a linebacker, but I think.
Yeah, he is.
But he's so good. And obviously there have been a lot of good linebackers in the Pac-12 in recent years. But he'd be a long shot type. But who do you have? I know there are a lot of other guys out there. I mean, Golston, he just was named a starter.
Yeah.
But
insert quarterback at Ohio State's name here. Yeah. Whether it's
probably Barrett,
JT Barrett or Cardale Jones, either one of them is probably going to be in that conversation when it's all said and done. Another guy I think you could keep an eye on is Malik Zaire at Notre Dame, quarterback there. Man, he broke my heart when he picked Notre Dame over Nebraska, I'll admit. Yeah, those two. And then there's the, what's his name? Devontae Booker at Utah. He's a running back.
Yep.
And I think he ran for like almost 1,300 yards last year.
Yeah.
So if he comes back and has a big year, and Utah's is much better in the Pac-12 as they think he could be, you know, throw him in there. And then I'll throw Vernon Adams, the new quarterback at Oregon. The way that system
works. Who's that Clemson quarterback? Because they've had some just incredibly high-producing quarterbacks in recent
years. Yeah, I know they have a good one.
I can't remember his name, unfortunately. All I can think of is Taj Boyd.
Taj Boyd, yeah.
Of course, he's gone. And
he was the quarterback there for what seemed like 15 years.
He was a 15-year guy. But, yeah, I apologize for blanking on his name. But so many guys, and I'm sure they're somewhere overlooking. There are always some guys who emerge. It's lightning in a bottle for a team that nobody thought would be better than a middling kind of team, and they go on a tear to start the season, and they've got some guy running it at a high rate or throwing at an incredible pace. So,
well, there's a running back at Pittsburgh that I think is really good too. Connor,
Connor
is his last name.
Is this his first name, John?
Yeah, something like that.
Like the Terminator. It might not be.
I can't remember if it's John. It's something, but his last name is Connor.
Yep.
Yeah, and he's a really good back out there at Pittsburgh. So that's be another guy that could be a dark horse. They might not win a lot of games, but at the same time, if he puts up big numbers, you could see him sneak up in there. Who else?
Finalist type. I'm sure there are others. I mean, there's always going to be somebody. Oklahoma, Samin.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy's been a terror.
Yeah. Well, who are you talking about? Samaje Perine. How do you say his name?
I probably butchered it, but Perine.
Perine. He was killed Iowa State last year. Came in. I did that game for KURE, and I probably said his name wrong 150 times. But I mean, he just carried the ball time after time and went for 5 yards every single time.
Yeah, he's a player. A lot of them out there. I guess we'll. I guess, as always, we will see.
I can't remember a year where it was as wide open as it is this year. Think about all the names
that
we just
threw
out
there.
That's
true. You usually have a short list that is a really solid short list.
Right.
Whereas a lot of these guys are popular in one quarter and then another quarter, and then, there aren't too many consensus guys. I think Boykin would be one of them. Some of the guys you mentioned. But other than that, it's very much – I'm kind of surprised Dak Prescott is kind of like considered a down the list guy.
Right.
Given what he did. But
he did get in a fight down in Florida. Did you ever hear about that?
That only augments his spot on Heisman watch for me.
I was all on board the Mariota train from week one last year. I made a Marcus Mariota Heisman prediction on the first episode of my show at KURE. So I'm pretty proud of that.
Outstanding. So who's your number one guy?
I'm going with Boykin.
Okay. So we're in agreement there.
All right. And then we had some games down here that we were gonna make some selections.
Yeah, why not?
That sound good? All right, we're gonna start it off. Thursday night at 8, number 2 TCU visiting the Golden Gophers in Minnesota. Do you want to go first?
First question I have is Chris gonna like have us over and share some of his free Bush Light or something?
He should.
That's just throw that question out into the air. I think Minnesota makes this a better game than many people will think, in part because it's game one, in part because they get to play it at home. Jerry Kills, I think, got that team going in the right direction. But still, I don't know how they could possibly contain TCU's offense and speed. So I'm going somewhere in the neighborhood of a 13-14 point win, 42-27. Maybe I'd make it. I guess that's a 15-point win. But I did say neighborhood. So that's what I expect. I'm not even sure that Minnesota will necessarily keep it that close. Like, it might get to be that gap or a little bit bigger, and then it just sort of stays there.
Yeah. I'm going to say that Minnesota keeps it close for the first three quarters, and then the speed and the athleticism of TCU eventually just takes over. And then Mitch Leidner interception late in the game. I'll name drop there Mitch Leidner, quarterback at Minnesota. So then I'll pick TCU in that one as well. And then Louisville at number 6 Auburn, Saturday at 2:30.
It's an interesting game. You would think Auburn all the way, right? Mm-hmm. But Louisville, you know, they've got that that Petrino fell. Let's not forget Chris Klinakis is still in the fold, isn't he? He's bringing his lunch pail to the game. I'm guessing Auburn actually is probably able to run the ball pretty well in this game. And Auburn typically has a pretty good defense. So I'm going Auburn by about a touchdown, maybe 28-21, 24-17, somewhere in there.
I'm going to go Auburn, but I'm going to say they're going to two touchdowns. I'll give them two touchdowns. Number 15, Arizona State at Texas A&M. I think they just finished a renovation at Kyle Field. Mm. So I've seen pictures of it, and it's absolutely beautiful, but it was a pretty nice stadium to begin with.
Sure.
So the Sun Devils visiting the Aggies, what do you think?
Polster is obviously pretty high on Arizona State. Mm-hmm. I know Graham has kind of revitalized them again. They seem to be that program that they'll get really good for a couple of years, and then they go back down and to languish, you know, even out of bowl contention for a couple of years, and then they're right back up there. I really don't know a whole lot about them. I'm afraid to say, so I'm just sort of, this is a dart game for me. And given, I kind of want to pick the upset. I kind of want to pick Arizona State. And it's not an upset. It might be. I don't know what the line is. Given Arizona State's the higher ranked team, I know A&M is getting votes, quite a lot of votes. I'm going to pick Arizona State by like maybe a point, and kind of a crazy game.
I think this is the golden age of football in Arizona. Whether, you know, between Arizona State and Arizona, I think Arizona's got the potential to be very good in the Pac-12 as well this year. But Texas A&M is just one of those teams you never know.
Yep.
You know, they could pull somebody up that they just a Johnny Manziel type guy that just kind of comes out of nowhere and has a huge season, and all of a sudden they're a really good team. So you know what? Screw the golden age of Arizona football. I'm going with Texas A&M.
Bold.
Yeah.
Old.
Yeah.
I like it.
All right. Texas at number 11, Notre Dame.
I like the Fighting Irish in this one. I think they've got a pretty good defense too. And you mentioned the quarterback. I think it should be a very entertaining game. Not a ton of points. We'll go Notre Dame 24, Texas 20.
I think Texas is going to take a step forward this year, but Notre Dame by 10 in this one. That's my pick. And then number 20, Wisconsin against number 3, Alabama. This one is in Dallas at Jerry World,
yeah.
So that'll be a big one.
It will. And you know Wisconsin will travel too, so it wouldn't be like you might expect. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not like Tuscaloosa to Dallas is a short trip. But, of course, you know, Alabama will always travel well too for obvious reasons. So – I like Wisconsin to hang in there on this one.
Yeah.
I don't see them beating Alabama, certainly. Alabama's got all those expectations out there again, and I don't see them basically dropping to must win on a weekly basis, probably, by losing this game. But I think it'd be another entertaining game. Wisconsin probably exposes Alabama's run D a little bit. But Alabama's offense is pretty good, too, and with Henry running back, and I think they'll run the ball effectively as well. Probably benefit from a couple turnovers due to some of the athleticism there in the secondary, and win by about 10. I like Alabama by 10, but a pretty close game throughout.
I think it'll be interesting to see what Wisconsin looks like under their new head coach, Paul Christ.
Yep.
I don't think they'll look a whole lot different, but it'll be interesting to see how they went from Bielema and Christ the way it was before, then they brought in Gary Anderson, who wanted to spread it out a little bit more.
Yep.
And then you go back to that ground and pound, and we're gonna run all over you. And you know, you lose Melvin Gordon.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's Wisconsin.
Yeah,
man.
They've got
and
guys.
They're gonna have guys up front, and they're gonna be able to reload. I'm gonna pick Wisconsin in this game.
Ooh, nice.
I'm out with low scoring. Low scoring.
Okay.
Wisconsin gets a late touchdown by, I think his name's James White. He killed Nebraska a couple years.
Yeah.
But James White, he's going to score a late touchdown, and Wisconsin's going to upset Alabama.
Outstanding. I'd like it to be like 6-3. Wasn't there an Alabama-Auburn game that ended up being 9-6 or 6-3?
Was it LSU? I thought it was LSU.
Oh, okay.
The one they called the game of the century.
That's right.
Yeah. And yep. Then they played again in the national championship game.
Mm-hmm. And it was totally different.
Right. Number one, Ohio State at Virginia Tech. This is a Labor Day game. This one's always fun. I always enjoy that Labor Day game.
Yeah. I can't imagine. Virginia Tech, we all remember them shocking Ohio State and Columbus. And then everybody thought all of a sudden, oh, Virginia Tech must be good. Well, they weren't very good.
No.
They were okay.
Yeah. I don't think they even made a bowl game, did they?
I don't think so.
I think they were fighting
for bowl eligibility
right.
and lost to somebody like in the last week of the season. I like Ohio State, 3 touchdowns here. I think Barrett goes nuts. Braxton Miller, maybe 4 touchdown catches or something if he doesn't get hurt. I don't see a repeat even though it's at Tech.
I think I could play quarterback for this Ohio State team and we still might win the game.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go Ohio State by 3 touchdowns as well.
Word.
And then last but not least, the UNI Northern or the UNI Panthers and the Iowa State Cyclones Saturday at 7:00.
Yeah, I'm not going to buck the trend. I haven't seen anybody outside of the Cedar Valley pick the Panthers to win this one. I can't go with the folks that think it's going to be comfortable for the Cyclones. I think it's going to be not a nail biter, but there's going to be a chance down to the very end. That it could go the other way, but I like the Cyclones offense to take it to the UNI defense to some extent, and I like the defense to do enough. I mean, to go back to Wally Burnham's hallmarks at Iowa State, which is getting a kind of a hodgepodge group of guys to bend
right.
but don't break, and I know that phrase rankles a lot of people, but they were really good at it some of those years. So maybe Iowa State 35-27, one of those games, and maybe UNI tries to mount a drive late and just doesn't quite get there.
I think that Sam Richardson is going to connect with Quentin Bundridge early on in the game and get him going. You're going to see that running game get going a little bit, and then the defense is going to make a big stop late to help him pull away 42-24.
That'd be a nice win.
Yeah. So there you go.
That's, yeah.
I dropped the mic.
I like that for the storyline, and you can also get writing quicker because you've got a bit more of a gap in the...
If that's what happens and I call it perfectly, I think I'm just going to write, I called it perfectly and that's all I'm going to write.
Like 48-point type.
Yeah.
There it is.
Straight across the homepage of Cycle Fanatic, it'll say Jared was right.
A big picture of your head disembodied, like with a black background, a big smile, and maybe your thumb could be up there with the thumbs up.
Right.
But well, we'll see. This was fun.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll be heading up. Are you going to be up there tonight?
Yep.
Then? Okay, so we should have Mangino and Wally Burnham to talk to tonight. We'll have availability tomorrow. Nothing Thursday, right?
Nope. Just Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah, so make sure and follow us along here for tonight and tomorrow night, and then it's game time, man. Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show, is that on Thursday night?
Yeah, I think it's starting on Thursday. We should. It's too bad Chris couldn't poke his head out here,
yeah.
But be on the lookout for that to begin. I've got to think it's going to start on Thursday, and obviously Chris with the pregame show on Saturday as well.
Yep, definitely. So make sure and you follow CycloneFanatic.com throughout the rest of the week. For Rob Gray, I'm Jared Stansberry. Have a good week.
Adios.